Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod this week, brought to you by studio@theboxsetpod.com. That's the email you should use to give us your opinion on anything we talk about. If at any point in this podcast you decide that you want to say something to us, call us an idiot, agree with us, disagree, that's the email, and we love to hear from you. studio@theboxsetpod.com. We'll be talking about girls tonight, and speaking of girls, thank you, Pam, for your lovely long email. She has done it. She watched the OA after we put her off, and then in our three-part special, persuaded her to listen to it. I totally agree, she says, that the OA is a compelling and beautifully shot series, to the point that there were a number of different scenes that I would have liked to have seen on the big screen. I wanted to believe the themes, but was a little annoyed by the things that we were annoyed by as well. I can't say much more in there, but on another topic, she says, that is without spoiling it. Nick, my hubby, said something the other day when we were watching The Walking Dead that really made me think, and I want to throw it out to you guys. He said that it should be binge-watched week by week, and I think he's right. We loved season one, got bored in two, abandoned it. Later we binged three, binged four, went back to two. Whilst I enjoy this current season, I think he's got a really good point, and we're committed to it. There are some slow episodes, but it's so frustrating waiting.
It's a very, very good point, and I think it is one that I might have made, actually.
Some shows,
especially shows like The Walking Dead, which have a lot of episodes that do nothing, they need to be watched in a binge format, because you get so frustrated, and it's so easy to just go, I'm not going to come back again, if you've got to wait another week. But if you watch them in a bunch together, you can go, okay, throw that away, get on to the next one. And you actually enjoy it because you get to the good bits quicker, and you get to the good episodes and the ones that really matter and the good moments.
Yeah.
It's so true. And The Walking Dead has this problem. Other shows have a similar problem. There are some that work in like the 1 week format still, but not many.
No,
a lot of TV's made these days, and the way we consume it these days is very much on a I want it now on demand.
But I think there's two reasons for that. One is that some series aren't good enough, and the other is that some seasons are really too good. And I think in the case of The Walking Dead, you have to have episodes that are slower paced than others and don't have the same size of budget and stuff. And that's a very good series, and that one's frustrating because you can't carry on. In the case of Homeland, which I'm also watching week by week, it's not quite good enough to warrant waiting a week, which makes you angry in a different way. Same with that bloody awful Kiefer Sutherland one, the West Wing rip-off.
What, Designated Survivor?
Yeah, you got to wait for that to be released week by week, and that's annoying.
What, the one where they blow up Congress?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was on a week by week one on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah, but the same chance you get just like Better Call Saul that is out weekly, but you can't wait
exactly for
the next one. And actually, you don't mind waiting a little bit as well in some respects because it's so good anyway.
Yeah. And I think particularly with The Walking Dead, where there's a lot of space, there's a lot of atmosphere, and you do want to get to the action.
I think you're right to an extent, but I think with Walking Dead, the problem with Walking Dead is sometimes the crap episodes leave you questioning why you bother anymore with The Walking Dead.
Right.
Like, because they can be so empty of any kind of any interesting or progress in the story that you just lose that will to carry on. I felt like that. I've teetered on the edge with Walking Dead, whereas something like Better Call Saul, I genuinely want to watch it again and again, and I'll always come back, even though it frustrates me that it is on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Walking Dead, you know, I will go back because I know that there'll be maybe three out of the eight episodes that, because he's in two breaks now, don't they, with a mid-season. But three out of eight will be really good.
I think watching The Talking Dead straight after it does it for me.
That's something that, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that prolongs your experience a bit more, and it also shares in the sort of community of it. It looks a bit deeper into it. It's nice. I like that. So that's my advice, Pam.
Yeah, and Pam, good point also about the OA being cinematic, because it really is, like, there are moments in it that just, it should be watched on a large screen. You feel like it would, I feel like on a large screen it would have such a massive impact as well. Some of the shots, some of the amazing scenes that are portrayed in it, and I do agree that it kind of lacks that when you're on a small screen, and you need more of that atmosphere and size and epic scale that it tries to portray.
Yeah,
very good points from Pam.
Great points, Pam. Thanks for your points, Pam. If you'd like to make some points like Pam did, why don't you pop us an email, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Is that you being talked to about a baby by your wife?
No. Oh. Can you hear talking? My wife's outside the room with my mother-in-law.
Oh, I see.
Bathing George.
Yeah, got to get a lot of help in that house you're around. Yeah.
That's going well. He loves baths.
Does he?
It's fantastic. Anyway, want to quickly mention, I put a couple of teaser trailers on the boxsetpod.com/news. April's going to be a quality month for television. Teaser trailer there for Fargo season 3, starring a Ewan McGregor with a dodgy haircut and a pot belly. That's a nice tease. And Ewan's also Better Call Saul.
Wow. I know Ewan McGregor was doing it.
Yeah, Ewan. It's set, this one's set not present day, but 2010. So it's not far off present day. So they're moving the time frame. I'm not sure how they'll work it with characters returning from, you know, the first series, possibly. But that's all to come.
How exciting. Well, we know that they like throwing the rule book out. Maybe that's not going to be a problem, just introducing characters. Maybe those characters are emblematic of fate and death or things like that, and so they can exist in any realm.
I wonder if they're going to come back to the alien sort of shit in Fargo, you know.
Well, that's what I was alluding to then, but I didn't want to spoil it for anybody. So listen, we're about to talk about Girls. I want to make clear, this podcast has two resident female guests, Mel in Kansas and Marcia in Toronto.
You want to make it clear, we love the ladies.
No, and it's that kind of comment. I want to make it clear that you wouldn't believe the effort that I went to get those two on this podcast, because I didn't want it to be a bunch of blokes talking about the series Girls. Marcia is like trying to bottle a tornado, trying to get that woman. Have you read our group messages, Jamie?
I had a brief look on before, just to check.
How do
status.
You avoid this crap? Honestly, it's been like 3 weeks of Marcia will send a message going, when are we doing Girls? And I'll go, we're doing it next Tuesday. And then there'll be no message for her for a week. And then she'll go, when are we doing Girls? I go, Marcia, we're doing it next Tuesday. And then I said the wrong day by accident. And then it's my fault. No, you should have said days. You said this wrong. And then finally went, okay, it's Tuesday. This is when we're doing it, Tuesday. Everyone good? Good, good, good. And then yesterday, both Mel and Marcia sent a message saying they couldn't do it.
Backed out.
And so we've ended up with our work experience boy, Jack, the most likely person to say something that is wrong, politically incorrect, rude, as insulting about this series. We couldn't get a guinea pig that is more further away from what you'd imagine the target audience of this show is. So it's going to be really interesting to hear what Jack thinks. So much so that Jack sent me this message and I said, can you watch it in time for the podcast? He said yes. Half an hour ago, Jack sent me a message saying, am I watching the right thing? The program with the lesbians. To which I said, Lena Dunham, yeah? Google her to make sure you're watching the right thing. He replied, definitely not watched the right thing at all. When you Google search Watch Girls Online for free, you're bound to come across some mad stuff. So now he's done what he should do. He's bought the first one off iTunes, and he's just finishing it now. We're going to dial him up in a moment. This is going to be the freshest take on any TV series that we've had on
Straight out of the oven.
Straight out the oven. So our experience with Girls is this. I started watching it years ago when it first came out. I found it very gritty. I found it very off-putting. I didn't know what to make of it. I found the characters incredibly selfish and annoying. I just didn't like it. Much how I felt about Transparent, if you go back and listen to that. I found it like that. And I left it behind. And then recently, my wife Sarah started to watch it again. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So, and we have watched every episode right up to date, and we're up to, like, five into the final series now. Jamie, how far have you gone through it?
I'm up to date. Yeah, up to the last series.
There you go.
I think Transparent's a really good comparison because, yeah, it's a show that when I first watched it, another comparison for me is Mad Men. Might seem a bit weird, this one, but the first series of Mad Men, the first series of Girls, I came out of them feeling very similarly, like I didn't like any of these people in the show, didn't like any of them, but I was sort of captivated by a world that I hadn't seen much of, you know. And Lena Dunham has made it very clear that she felt like there was a demographic within the female world that hadn't been represented, you know, that had missed, it wasn't the Sex and the City people, but there was a gap before that, a generation before that, that aren't being represented on television. And that's kind of, it captured me in that way. Also, it is genuinely funny at times. It's brilliantly written. And when she gets it right, it's really, really good comedy drama.
I think that Girls is a, when you think back to when it started, this was just, you know, just after Sex and the City was finished or finishing. And you can really see how the pitch between her and Judd Apatow, I can imagine, must have included, you know, this is the real Sex and the City. You've got a group of girls living in New York City. It is a comedy drama following the lives of four young women living in New York City. The show's premise and major aspects of the main character were drawn from Dunham's own life. Lena Dunham is the main star and writer. That's off Wikipedia there. But I do think that it's almost a real Sex in the City, and that's one of the attractions of it to me. But also at the time, it felt so gritty. Now it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, especially the sex. Like, there's a lot of sex in Girls. So there's a lot of, like, you know, very, very
awkward sex.
Very in your face, uncomfortable, sometimes very disturbing sex.
Well,
the show.
Yeah, but this is, and
maybe not disturbing.
Let's just say from the off, because we are men, we have to make very clear that we are not the best people to talk about this.
Well,
but
you know,
we are going to talk about it. But one of the things, you know, certainly that my wife said was, "Do you would you like the sex if it was with traditionally fit people, with you know, the Hollywood, we're only used to seeing people have sex who are kind of Hollywood sexy." And it isn't that, because there's some of the best looking characters in it who are very good looking people in real life by any measure have awkward sex in it, and that makes me feel awkward as well.
I think for me it was like, it wasn't the attractiveness of anybody. It was like Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren in Star Wars now, and he's a big actor. Mm. This was the first time I'd ever seen him in anything, Adam Driver, and he plays Hannah's boyfriend in the first series. I found him a really disturbing character in the first series, and I thought he was going to end up killing someone.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
their sex scenes were very aggressive and, like, really
perverse.
I didn't like it at all. Uncomfortable, and that for me was like the off-putting thing, was watching this kind of slightly sociopathic character who she was having a relationship with. But
I also know Lena Dunham got lots of abuse from people saying, I don't want to see Lena Dunham's wobbly bits once more on TV, and it was very wrong to be that abusive. But at the same time, and we don't see that very often, but at the same time, I do, like you said a couple of weeks ago on the subject, part of me does go, I don't need to see as many sex scenes as this. I've been made to feel uncomfortable 12 times this series. I don't need to be made uncomfortable 13 times. I personally would prefer it to remain a comedy in the traditional sense, where in comedies you tend not to see people having sex, or at least getting very naked.
I don't mind it if it's to push a plot line along, or if it's to establish a character's behaviour or a character's sort of characteristics or aspects of their personality to us.
Yeah.
If it's got a point to it.
Yeah.
But with girls, there's so much of it that and there's loads of it that you understand the characters, and some of it doesn't seem to have any need to be shown as well. So you just come away going, oh god, another sex scene I've got to watch.
Yeah.
We just get through this and then get to the bit where that happens. And yeah, so there is a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of series of girls which I've not enjoyed particularly very much, and I've not actually thought I've been very funny. But the final series, which is happening at the moment, season 6, is probably my favourite series that they've ever done. I think it's been brilliant.
Well, it depends whether you're looking at it. All of that we've just said is a critique from a comedic perspective, but it's not necessarily supposed to be an all-out comedy. It's supposed to be a story. And those series that are less funny, some of them are some of my favourites. And Jack, are you there?
Oh.
There he is.
There he is.
Straight off the back of the horse's mouth, or something like that. How are you feeling?
not too bad. I've literally just finished it about 5 minutes ago.
Just
get it out of your brain. Tell us what you think. Get it all out.
Come on, talk us through it. Straight from the horse's mouth.
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. A lot better than I thought it was going to be. I presumed it was going to be a bit like Gilmore Girls, which I gave up on after about 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Really relatable, because they're only about... Is it Hannah, the main character?
Yeah.
She's only 3 years older than me, so I can relate to her situation and her friend's situations and everything. Mm. And I thought it was really good.
Wow. I have to say... I wasn't sure you'd like it, Jack.
Neither was I, to be honest. I thought I was going to come on and give it a bit of a bashing, but I actually really enjoyed it.
I thought the outside bet here was actually that Jack's in his early 20s, and I had a conversation slightly with Adam before, who's seen it, and said, you know, it's hard to get behind all these really selfish people. And I said, what I've realised is this series is about how lost you are in your 20s, trying to figure out that balance. Is it massively selfish to just not know what the hell you're doing in life and trying to figure it out? Which is what I think they capture really well, and certainly capture New York, living in New York, really well in that sense as well. What about the sex scenes, Jack?
From which episode? The first episode of Girls that I watched that wasn't the right Girls, or the second episode that was the right one?
We'll talk about that in a moment, but the correct one.
A bit stilted, but just your plain old scene, isn't it, really? Not the best, but it was all right.
The life of the 20-year-old. Do you feel incredibly lost in life, Jack?
Oh, completely. And it's a regular thing to have to put the call into the parents and say, I've got completely no money. I can't eat for the rest of the week. I need you to help me out. And it's, I think they encapsulated the essence of being in your early 20s and, like you said, not knowing what on earth it is you're doing. And like Hannah, the main character, having a degree, but then being an intern that's not being paid. I know hundreds of people that have done that. I think they've done a really good job with it.
Wow.
Considering how old it is as well, they're only about the fifth series now, aren't they?
Six. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, Jack. Just wondering, like, is it a show that you'd heard about it before tonight?
I'd never heard of it, no.
No, nothing at all about it. That's interesting.
No.
Because it is very much aimed, I think, at... You know, you are the nailed on demographic that it would be looking to appeal to more than anything. But I guess it's a show that isn't. I don't even know.
I guess
how
you could
easy
slightly nail the demographic slightly more if Jack was a female.
Yeah, but it is like men and women, mainly women, I suppose, but men and women within that sort of age range.
Yeah.
And it's probably looking to identify and represent. So, yeah, it's interesting. But
yeah.
I thought you might find it. Did you find it funny?
Yeah, there were bits that genuinely made me laugh that I wasn't expecting. Like I said, I thought it was going to be the similar kind of layout to Gilmore Girls, which I didn't really find that funny and found that that didn't hit home with me as much as this did. Whereas this, I think because I could relate to it a bit more, there were scenes in it that I genuinely did find funny because you can relate to them really well.
Wow. I absolutely love Girls, and I mean, you know, it's pretty much game over with Jack's opinions. I will say a lot of people, Jack, found this series very difficult to get into, found the reality, the sort of grit, the grittiness of it, really tough to get going on. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of Love, the Netflix TV show, and that took me quite a bit to get into, whereas this is something I could sit down and watch another episode now.
Well, this is my theory.
I could just watch one a night.
My theory is that there's a lot of people like me and Adam and people and Mel even who tried, and back in the day when it first came out, there really wasn't anything like it, I don't think.
Well,
and we've got more used to that style now.
Yeah, but I think Mel said on, I noticed on Slack, the messaging board that we used before the pod, she said that she doesn't feel like this show is, you know, it represents, she doesn't identify with this show.
She doesn't think it's for
She's
her.
She's not the audience for it, which I thought, well, I thought Mel would exactly be.
Yeah.
Right in the pocket of the show's main kind of audience. I'm really surprised that she doesn't feel like she has a desire to watch it.
I would be interested in knowing why she thinks that. It's very strange.
Damn it. Get her on.
Yeah, and maybe she can let us know. I mean, I would just say to people, if you did drop it, pick it up again, because it just gets better and better. I mean, I think it gets better and better, and there's some stuff later. There's a whole series. She's got sort of obsessive compulsive disorder, and there's a whole thing about that, which is very real, and I just really liked it. So it was great, Jack.
So does it stick with Hannah, the main character, throughout the entire... Oh, right, okay.
It sticks with that group of people.
Yeah, I mean, all four of the main females are covered, but Hannah's obviously the main protagonist in it, and her character's journey is sort of...
Yeah.
You know, she's the heart of the show, really, and she's a frustrating character to follow a lot of the time because, you know, you disagree with a lot of the decisions she makes. But and that's the thing. It's frustrating. They aren't necessarily... Do you like the characters in it after the first episode, Jack?
I wouldn't necessarily say like them, but I could sit there and say, oh, well, that person reminds me of one of my friends, and one of my friends has done that, and oh, that person reminds me of this person. And it was very easy to, like I said, to relate to it. So not necessarily like them, but you have that kind of attachment to them.
Similar question, Jack. Howell here. I would like to know if you will continue watching this, because you know, will you actually continue watching this, or have you just enjoyed episode one, take it or leave it?
I think if I can find a way to watch it and not pay $2.50 every time I watch the episode, then
have you not got
no
TV?
Continue. No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, maybe get Now TV. Get your mum and dad to buy it. It's only £6 a month. That'll give you. And many other things, including Walking Dead.
It's weird with you, Jack. You're a hard one to...
Second guess, yeah.
You're a hard one to... You're a puzzling man, but... because, you know, we've tried comedies on you before and failed, haven't we? Kimmy Schmidt
went
down like a lead balloon.
But I wouldn't necessarily call this... I wouldn't say it was a comedy, if I had to put it into the genre. I'd say more of a drama with the occasional funny scene, but when there is a funny scene, because I could relate to it really well, I probably found it funnier than most, and I think that's why I enjoyed it so well.
I think that's why she's so good, though, because I think the more you watch it, the more you'll see that this is definitely a comedy, and there is she disguises the traditional setups and punchlines a lot. It's a lot like the stand-up comic writing a thing. It's observations of the world, so she's for example, she's gone, you know, oh, something horrible happened to me today. I shat myself at the post office, and the whole plot leads up to that point, you know. It's very much centred around the funny things that happen in life and that happen between people, the contradictions between people as well, which comedy comes from. I love it. I absolutely love it, and I'm going to be sad when it ends quite soon. It's well worth powering on with one way or another.
Oh, so is this the final series then?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. When did it start? When was the first?
Well, like 6-7 years ago, I suppose, because this is series.
Yeah, around 2010.
Yeah, we're on series 7 now, I think, aren't we?
Series 6 now.
Oh, 6. So yeah. So yeah, 2010, 2011, something like that. Which is yeah. How old were you in 2011, Jack?
15. Wow. 15 or 16.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
And what were you watching when you thought you were watching Girls?
Well, I just want to put a disclaimer out here, okay? So when you say, oh, we're going to do Girls on the podcast this week, I'll put my hands up and say, sometimes I always don't use legal methods to watch things for this podcast.
Whoa!
Unbelievable.
And
how unbelievable.
So I typed it on Google, watch Girls online for free. And
oh, God, this is horrible.
not thinking what might come up. So it wasn't anything too explicit. It was a TV show of sorts,
right?
But it wasn't the right one.
Amazing.
It was on Playboy TV, was it?
Well, it was something. It was about two actresses, and they were filming a lesbian scene, and then. They just went and got stoned.
Okay.
And I was thinking, why on earth are we doing this on the podcast?
Your dad listens to this podcast. He's shouting the answer at the radio now. well done. And I do hope we've encouraged anyone else to continue with Girls. We'd love to hear you if you did. It's just, it's just a great... groundbreaking series. It's an entire cast of women without having to be a bunch of stereotypical Sex and the City for me was just some really vile characters, and these characters are vile but in a realistic way.
And I think that, like, Lena Dunham is a really she's a very unique voice, a unique sort of comedic voice, and a unique, not just comedic voice, but a unique sort of female performer and also writer. And it's interesting because I listened to Jill Soloway, who wrote Transparent, and she watched the first series of Girls and just went, it was so furious because she was like, I should be making a show like this. Mm. And she went on and then made Transparent, and you can see how this show was helped inspire other shows like that, and Love, which I think, and you mentioned Love before, Jack. It's interesting because Love is also produced by Judd Apatow, who produced Girls with Lena Dunham, and I think that he likes to empower individual and unique voices, and especially comedy that's very much in this mold and this kind of style that doesn't necessarily feel like an out-and-out comedy, but has that sort of undertone of a very unique comedic voice. Yeah. Coming through, there's a lot more, and it's been inspired by the work from Lena Dunham, and Girls really has kind of uniquely kind of trailblazed this genre of comedy.
Also, on the last podcast, I criticised Catastrophe because I finally got there in the end. What my criticism was, and it was that sometimes I'm just way too sensitive to people who aren't actors playing the main parts. So they're the comedians who wrote it, they're the writers. And I still feel that way. I've continued with Catastrophe. My wife and I are very much enjoying it. But I still feel that way about it. I still kind of... maybe it's just my, heightened sense of being an excellent director that I can see through. I mean, like a good football manager can see through, the good and the bad of the professionals. And in Lena Dunham's case, you also have a funny person who has written the script, produced it, often directed it, and is starring in it. But in Lena Dunham's case, I think she's an excellent actress, and I can't imagine anybody else being cast in that part. She's just brilliant. I think she's amazing, and I think I have learnt a great deal. I've learned a great deal about women. I've learned a great deal about myself, about life, from watching all of the series. That is not hyperbole. I mean it. I think it genuinely gives you a perspective. You know, men are not the correct people to talk about what it's like to be a woman, and most of Hollywood and TV and stuff has been dominated by men, like most places have. And to have a female writer and performer doing that, it really does open your eyes to a ton of stuff, and it's great. It's great.
Couldn't agree more.
Right, well, thanks very much. Who knows what we'll be doing next week? We shall see. We want to give Marcia...
It would be great to get Marcia back.
Yeah, but then
on,
what are they going
to
say?
Because,
well, we expected Jack to come on and say he thought it was a big pile of crap, and then we'd need Marcia to come on to balance it out next week. Well, he said it's great, so who knows what we'll do next week? Maybe,
you know, I'd like Mel on, because I'd like to know why Mel hasn't got into it, hasn't identified with it at all.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear.
Well,
let's make that happen.
I am absolutely certain if you actually lift a bloody finger and try and arrange somebody for this podcast, that Mel will listen to you instead of my frigging voice every 2 minutes popping on at people. It'd have great power, wouldn't it, Jack, if Jamie wrote a message on that group board and said, Mel, get on the tweet.
Oh, it would.
It really would.
Okay, I'll write a message.
Try
Mel
to write
on
it as you rather than logging in as me, though, like you did last time. Because that would...
I don't know why it logs
backfire
in as you. I don't know why
it's
it
not
does
it,
that.
It's you. So, there we go. Who knows what will happen next week? We'll see if Jamie's political power pays off.
Otherwise... You know what? I'm writing the message right now. I'm going to say, Mel, next week, do it.
Great.
Right, doing it right now.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Pop us an email, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Well done, Jack. You can now get back to your lesbian pornography.
I did not want my dad to hear this.
He's watching it. He's Googled it before.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finish this podcast.